My name is Ben, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from alcohol, pornography, and a lack of self-worth. Please pray with me. Dear God, as I'm about to share my story of your grace, please open the hearts and ears of everyone listening and remind me that this is not about me, but about how you have transformed my life, taking me from being a self-centered jerk to someone who has an everlasting hope of your return. Thank you for letting me share your story. Amen. I grew up in a strong Christian home and was the fourth oldest out of eight kids. We were at the church every time the doors were open, as my dad was both an elder or pastor of the church that we were attending. And my mom, well, she was a stay-at-home mom. Yep, you heard that right. I'm a preacher's kid. I felt like I had to be perfect all the time. At a young age, I believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again 3 days later, but did not truly start following him till I was 25 and came to Regeneration in May of 2005 to get my sister and my mom off my back. We'll come back to that part of the story a little later. Growing up in a small West Texas town, I really only had two close friends. One was a church buddy, and the other was a non-church friend. The non-church friend introduced me to pornography in the fifth grade. I knew it was wrong, but being a preacher's kid, I was supposed to be perfect. He also sexually abused me in elementary and junior high. This is when I started to live a double life. Around my parents, family, and church friends, I was that great preacher's kid who only did what was right and only got in trouble for talking back to my parents and fighting with my other siblings. When I was with my school and non-church friends, we were cussing and causing havoc everywhere we went. I was much too young to even understand what I was looking at, but the first time that I saw pornography, I was addicted. Over the next several years through junior high and high school, I would only get more and more trapped in my porn addiction, and this struggle would lead me to lying to my parents about where I was and who I was with. I remember being caught by my parents multiple times, but lied to them, telling them that I had it under control. I went from being in private school in early elementary, to public school through fifth grade, to being homeschooled from sixth grade till my junior year. In my junior year and senior year, I went back to high school. Wanting to fit in with the crowd my junior year, I joined the football team and sat on the bench the entire year, only playing a few downs both seasons. This is also when I drank for the first time, just trying to find a place to be accepted by others. Both the alcohol and the porn addictions followed me into college. In college, I continued to live a double life. I hung out on Sunday and Wednesday nights with the Christian students, playing board games and singing worship songs. But other nights, I would be with my non-Christian friends, hitting the bars or the bong, whichever group I wanted to be with at that time. I joined a fraternity, again, just looking to find somewhere to fit in and feel accepted by someone. My frat life was exactly what I thought it'd be. Lots of parties and inappropriate relationships. These relationships never lasted for more than a few months, and some even for just one night. I was always the first to say that I loved the other person, and usually within the first few weeks. I'm seeing that I had some major codependency issues also going on. When I was not in the relationship, I would seek approval from pornography and my drinking friends. I was finally getting the attention that I had been looking for, though. As people laughed at my fun, crazy side when I was intoxicated, I would start feeling accepted, and the more I felt like they liked me, the crazier I got. I was just looking for some sort of affirmation from someone. It didn't matter who the affirmation came from or what it was even about. I just wanted to feel like somebody cared and that someone needed me, or they just couldn't live without me. After being in college for 4 years and only having enough credits to be classified as a sophomore, I was offered a job in Dallas to manage a restaurant. I thought a fresh start was exactly what I needed, in a place where no one knew me and I could start my life over. I made so many promises to God that I would start to follow him when I moved to Dallas, but it took less than a month for me to be back in my same lifestyle that I had been in college. I was far from God and was feeling so much guilt for my actions. I felt like God would never want me until I cleaned up my life. I continued to seek life in alcohol, relationships, and pornography until May of 2005, when I finally hit rock bottom. I remember being at rock bottom in my life. I had just been fired from my job for showing up intoxicated. I had just lost my roommate since he had gotten married a week before, and I didn't have enough money to cover my rent. Since I had gone out and spent all that money I did on my addictions. I called my parents to bail me out, just like I had multiple times before. This time they didn't, and I didn't understand why. My dad told me that he loved me and he wanted what was best for me, and that he was going to stop enabling me. This was the very beginning of my recovery process, and I had no clue. I had to find a way to get some money to pay for my rent for the last month of our lease. I decided to call my brother-in-law and sister and ask for help. They gave me the money that I needed, but on one condition. He told me that I had to move in with them and their five kids in their four-bedroom house in Richardson. I was not excited at all. But since he was the only person who would get me out of the situation I had put myself in, I agreed. I remember my first few nights at their house because I would wake up in the middle of the night with my hands shaking uncontrollably from alcohol withdrawals, and it was really scaring me. This was one of the first times I realized that I might actually have a problem. This was also the first time in 6 years that I did not use drunkenness to help me fall asleep or just pass out. My sister and her family were attending Watermark at the time, and I remember my mom and sister trying to get me to go to Watermark's recovery program. The pitch was that it helps you recover from your hurts, habits, and hangups. And since I thought drinking was my only issue, I would go just to get them off my back. I remember walking through the doors the first time and wondering, what if there were people that I had met from Sunday morning church? Would they think I was some freak who had a whole bunch of issues that I needed to deal with? What if they see me? What if they ask me my struggle? What am I going to say? So I didn't go inside until 5 minutes after it started, just so I could slip in the back and be unseen. I didn't sing any worship songs that night, but I did listen to the testimony that was shared, and wow, the guy sharing his story had the same issues I did. That must mean that I'm not the only person in the world struggling with alcohol and pornography. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. That verse is what got me through the hardest parts of recovery. I was consistently reminding myself that God always provides a way out of temptation, and that everyone else is dealing with the same stuff that I'm dealing with. I'm not the only one, which means I'm not in this fight alone. While going through open group, today called Groundwork, I had been sober for a few weeks and things were starting to head in the right direction, and then I relapsed. I decided to go to a bar less than a mile from the house just to have one drink. Hours later, I had more drinks than I could remember, and as I stumbled into the house, into the bathroom at 2 a.m., I fell over, tripped, or I passed out. I don't remember. But it made a loud crash and woke everyone in the house. I remember my sister and my brother-in-law looking at me with such disappointed faces. I'll never forget their faces that night. I don't remember anything after that except waking up the next day at noon and my sister walking over to the bed on the verge of tears. Her heart was sad and hurt that I had made the choice that I did the night before. She sat on the edge of the bed and she told me that if I ever do that again, that she will be there for me, to help me, and that she forgives me for my actions from the night before. Wait, what? That is not what I was expecting at all. I thought she was going to tell me that her family is more important than me, and that I need to find somewhere else to sleep that night. But that's not what she said at all. Her response was grace. Nothing but grace. This is the very first time I had truly understood and seen demonstrated the meaning of grace. Not getting a punishment that I totally deserved. This is grace. This was also the first time that I accepted my life was completely unmanageable and that I could not control it any longer. I did not like hurting the people around me with my actions. I was tired of being tired, and that day I rededicated my life to Christ, not because I lost my salvation, but because I wanted to live for Him 100% of the time. This was the turning point in my relationship with God, where I went from just calling myself a Christian to truly living the Christian life and walking with Christ daily. Once I got into a step study, I was really diving into God's Word and community. I felt convicted to become a member of Watermark, so I attended the membership class. I jumped into a community group of single guys that challenged me not to just be a better person, but to be a man of God and to have some character. My community group and recovery group helped me pursue Christ full force. Fast forward about a year, and at this time, I was out of my sister's house living with my younger sister in an apartment. Life was going pretty well. Since I had been 100% sober from alcohol for a complete year, I was fixed, right? Boy, was I wrong. I started to drink only on special occasions or only with others. It was more social, and I had completed the step study, was serving in student ministries, in community, and had just gotten married to the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I thought that surely I could drink in moderation, but 6 months after getting married, we were at my wife's cousin's wedding, and there was an open bar. I got intoxicated, and my loving wife, in the sweetest way possible, pulled me away from everyone, and she asked me if I was representing Christ in the way that he lives in my heart. I was not. Being called out by my wife at her family's wedding is not one of my favorite memories of our marriage, especially since I was lying and hiding my porn usage from her also. I was soon caught looking at pornography, and it destroyed her trust. So I confessed to our marriage community group and went back through regeneration in 2012. This time, I didn't just pencil whip the answers. I reworked all the steps and pursued Christ, coming fully clean with all my sins and taking complete ownership of the hurt I had caused my wife and others through my actions. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It was the second time that I went through regen that the Lord revealed to me that I had been sexually abused. I had always thought that I had put myself in the situation to be abused, and some of it was my fault, like I had almost asked for it. I had stuffed my feelings of hurt and pain for almost 20 years. When I went through recovery the first time, I even put it on my inventory, but said that I had two inappropriate acts with the same sex. After completing my second time through regen, I intended mend. The purpose of mend is to help men heal from the devastation of sexual abuse by giving them a safe place to find hope and restoration in Christ through community with other men who have suffered from abuse. I learned that I could forgive my abuser, which I never thought I'd be able to do. But with Christ's help, I have. Today, my life looks a lot different than it did 8 years ago. When I sin, which I still do, I'm quick to confess it to the Lord and to keep the account short with those I've hurt. This has been one of my greatest blessings I've seen in my life. I have to often ask my wife and kids for forgiveness. It is usually for being impatient or my tone of voice. My community group and co-leading in region remind me often that I am not without Christ, that I am nothing without Christ, and encourage me to dive in the Word on a daily basis. Not saying that I am perfect there, but I try my best to be reminded of Christ's love for me daily. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The current relationship with my brother-in-law and sister is great. Our families get together often and eat dinner. We sit together during Sunday morning church services and even vacation sometimes together. We really enjoy being around each other. I'll never forget when I made my amends with my parents. I went to ask them for forgiveness for the hurt and the pain that I had caused them and my family. My parents' response was, "I forgive you." And then we agreed that every time we see each other, we embrace in a hug to remind us that we love each other and that we will always be able to work out any issues that we have as long as we just discuss them. All this is possible through making true amends with them all. This was a hard step, but probably one of the most fulfilling steps I had learned going through regeneration. If this is your first time here tonight, welcome. I am so glad you came. This is a place that you can share your struggles and not feel judged, because there's probably someone else here on the regeneration team that has probably done it also, or worse. The good news is that the specific struggle or the sin has already been taken care of by Jesus with the death on the cross. I have a new life in Christ, and while I'm tempted to find my life in my job or in my family, I remember the price that he paid for me, to spend eternity with him in heaven, and to have a full, abundant life here on earth. Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross for my sins. He took my judgment, and he gave me undeserved grace and rose back to life 3 days later. Today, he's sitting on the right side of the Father who is coming back for me. This is what gives me life now. This is exactly it. Thank you.